If you have a Bible, could you please open it at Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 6 we'll be reading. And if you were here last week, you might remember that I spoke on the first few verses of the book of Revelation. We talked about God revealing himself in a written word and by his Son, Jesus Christ, and revealing his will for our salvation. So I thought I'd sort of continue with that theme. And I think Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 6 will help us do that. So let's hear God's word from Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By this the elders received good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were put in place by the word of God, so the things that are seen did not come about from things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was testified that he was just, God bearing witness to his gifts. And through it, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was translated so that he might not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. Before he was translated, it was testified that he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that he is, and is the rewarder of those who seek him out. So essentially we'll be talking about faith and what God intends faith to do with us. And the word faith in the scriptures has two possible meanings, and I think both of those possible meanings meet in this passage. Faith can be what Jude calls it in his letter, the message of Jesus Christ. It is the faith once delivered to the saints. It's the message of Jesus Christ, it's of our God who sent him. Of all that the scripture reveals is the faith. It is the message that God has testified to us regarding his will for our salvation. So it is the faith is what God has revealed to us. And then, faith is also used in the scriptures to describe trust in God, reliance upon the message that he has given to us. That when we trust God, that is called faith. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, it is the body of information that Christians have been brought to rely upon and hope in because God has told us so. So the faith is, in one sense, the substance, the message, the data, the information that God has given us regarding his will for our salvation, and they are the things that we now hope for. We have hope because God has said that one who trusts in Jesus has their sins forgiven, that they will be raised from the dead on the last day, that they have a good eternity stored up for them in heaven. These are the things that we've been brought to hope for because God has testified to us regarding them. And then again, the passage tells us that faith is the conviction of things not seen. Now, the word conviction is often used in court when a person has had evidence brought against them and they've been found to be guilty of something. But the word conviction can also mean a firm determination, a firm belief that something is true. A firm belief that something is true based on evidence. But it's a firm unshakable belief that something is true. And this is what Christians are given by God when he brings us to faith. We look at what God has testified to us regarding his Son. And he brings us to a conviction by the evidence he presents that this is true. So faith is the substance, the matter, and it's also the conviction that is brought by belief in that truth. So as we go through this passage, you'll find that there are these two things working together in the examples that the passage presents to us. The substance that God has testified to us, and the conviction that God is true when he tells us the things he has told us in his word. And so we find that by faith, the elders, that is, those who lived long ago, of whom we're told about in the Old Testament, by faith the elders received a good testimony. And it's a difficulty to my mind as to which way to go with this. Was the testimony the message that God had given them and they believed it? Or was it the fact that by believing God commended them and regarded them as righteous because they trusted him? I think we can go both ways with this. I don't think you need to come out on one side or the other. I think it's both together. That the ancient believers in God received commendation from God because they believed his testimony to them. But in the third chapter of the Bible, the ancients, the very ancientest of our forebears, Adam and Eve, received a testimony from God. And it came in an interesting way, because God was taking Adam and Eve to task for not believing him. They had ceased to trust God and they started to trust a message that was a lie. You might remember that the evil one, the ancient serpent, beguiled Eve, and Adam transgressed the commandment that God had given him. And Adam was told that things will be hard. Eve was told that things will be hard. The serpent was told that things will be disastrous for him. Because this is what God said to the snake. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He, the seed of the woman, will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. It sounds a little obscure, but many theologians say that this is the first reporting to human beings that Christ would come. The one who would descend from the woman would take out the devil and his works. So way back in the very beginning, when the human beings first sinned, there was this testimony from God that he will deal with sin and death. I think Eve believed it, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. So we've got the ancient ones received a good testimony. They believed God, and God justified them by that faith. And here's an example of things not seen, but God revealed. By faith, we are told in verse 3, we understand that God created the things we see from nothing. The things that we see did not come from things that are visible. The Bible tells us, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the word used for create implies that there was nothing there for God to get his hands on, so to speak, to make anything. He created things in nothing, and from nothing, and by nothing. We get space, time, and stuff because God in the beginning spoke and made them come into being. But that might not be what he's talking about here. It could be he's talking about the 6 days that followed, where God put in order and formed that which he made in the beginning. And just to add another bit of things to think about, is that I read in Calvin. Calvin suggested that when we look at the things that God makes, when we look at ourselves and the gifts that we have, that the reality of the invisible God, His eternal Godhead and His character is presented to us in the things that we see. And by looking at the things that God made, we come to understand by faith the great unseen one who made all things. That's also a possibility. I'm not going to become dogmatic at this point, but there's something extraordinary going on here about the God who made all things, who put all things in order, who reveals himself through the things he made. And really, we can only know any of those things because God has revealed them in his word and because he gives the gift of faith that causes people to trust him. So it's by faith we understand that what God has told us in his word is true. And we see that truth as we look at the world around us. Okay, so now we come to Abel and Cain. We've got by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which it was testified that he was just, God bearing witness to his gifts. And through it, even though he is dead, he still speaks. We have heard of that Adam and Eve had three sons we know by name and many other sons and daughters we don't know by name. Cain was the firstborn. When Cain was born, we read in Genesis that Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. The Hebrew could be read as saying that I have gotten a man, the Lord. Remember the promise that she'd been told that her seed will defeat Satan? Eve was looking forward to that happening. And it could be that she thought that this firstborn child of hers would be the one to deal with sin and death. She was looking forward in hope. Her hope in that case was particularly disappointed. But she believed, and I believe that Cain and Abel were told about that promise, that God would send one who will deal with sin and death, who will put right what Adam and Eve made wrong. And I believe that's why Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, because Abel believed the promise. And when he offered something to God, he was offering his thanks for that promise. He was depending upon God's promise. Cain, it seems, although he heard the same promise, did not believe God. He had no love for God. He did religious stuff because he was brought up in a religious home, as it were. He did what was expected of him, but he did not put his hope in the message. He went through the motions. He was there, but his heart was not right with God. And we read in one of John's letters that Cain killed Abel. And why did Cain kill Abel? Because Abel's deeds were just and Cain's were wicked. You might put it this way, that by faith, Abel was justified. Because Cain did not trust God, he was not justified. He was left in his sin. And we can read of the unpleasant consequences of what Cain believed or did not believe in the ongoing history of his life. But we find that the betterness of Abel's sacrifice wasn't due to the fact that Abel brought perhaps a lamb because he was a sheep farmer, and because Cain brought vegetables because he was a grain farmer or something like that. We're not told anything about what they offered. We're told about how they offered. Abel brought his offering by faith. And he was believing the promises of God, and he was killed by his brother because Abel believed the promises of God and Cain did not. Abel was the first martyr. first believer in God who was killed because he believed God and the one who killed him did not. But the interesting thing is that we're told here that God bore witness to Abel's gifts. That's how Cain and Abel knew that Abel was accepted and Cain was not. And then we are told that, and through it, through that faith of Abel, even though he is dead, he still speaks. So the testimony of Abel to God is something that did not end with his death. Not only is Abel now in the presence of the Lord Jesus, having been killed so long ago, not only does Abel have the hope of the resurrection, as everyone who trusts the Lord Jesus does have, that the fact that he trusted God at the expense of his life and he lost nothing by it is a testimony to us. He speaks to us even now. That should we be called upon to seal our profession with our lives, there's a sense in which we lose nothing by it because God is faithful. He can be relied upon. He can be trusted. By faith, we're told, Enoch was translated. That word translated is a strange one. It didn't mean he spoke a foreign language and he had to be sorted out and brought into a language that people understood. It's actually saying that he was taken from this earth into the presence of God without dying. And they used the word translated to convey that information. So we've got by faith, Enoch was translated so that he might not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. Before he was translated, it has been testified that he pleased God. In Genesis, we're told that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. But we're told here that walking with God is the same as pleasing God. Walking with God is a way of saying that Enoch trusted God according to his promises. And I would say there still have to be that same promise that God gave to Adam and Eve, that one will come to deal with sin and death. Because death comes by sin. And we find here that Enoch, by faith, was declared to be pleasing to God. Despite his own personal sin, he was declared pleasing to God. And as a witness to us and to those of his time and those in between and to those who will come, we're told that because he pleased God, he did not see death. It was intended that he might not see death, that the fruit of justification might be represented to us in this extraordinary way. I think there's only two people in the Bible. I think there's only two, Enoch and Elijah, who passed from heaven, from earth to heaven without death. So we have Enoch testifying to us that God is the one who deals with sin by his Son, and the dealing of sin by his Son brings life, not death. And for us, it will bring life through death, and that forever, life forever. And then we have this wonderful passage where it says that without faith it is impossible to please God, for the one who comes to God must believe that he is and is rewarder of those who seek him out. I think the King James says diligently seek him. Look to God with conviction based on what he has revealed in the scriptures. So it's impossible to please God without faith because God said that he requires faith in order that he might justify the sinner. But at the same time, the Bible tells us that faith and salvation is a gift from God. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus and commended by him because of that, it's all because of God's grace. He's shown mercy to sinners by his own acts. The acts of his Son, the Lord Jesus, as he lived and died and rose again, the act of God in giving faith and repentance to his people. So if you're a person who trusts God, it's because God has enabled you to do that, and he commends you for it. He declares you acceptable because he is the God who saves. You might remember that Adam and Eve, and particularly Adam, ceased to believe God and ceased for that reason to be pleasing to him until God declared the gospel to Adam and Eve and their children. We had no hope apart from that message of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has declared that the only basis for hope in this world is the life and death and rising again of Jesus Christ. He declared it first in Genesis 3:15. He repeated that message at many different times and in many different ways, but he does it so that we would hear this message and believe it. We have separated ourselves from our God by our sin. God has reconciled us to himself by his Son, and we must believe that he is. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was talking to the religious leaders of his day, they were getting into a bit of a heated argument. You can read about it in John 7 and 8. And at one point, he said, "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." That's an extraordinary statement. He said, "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." The religious leaders of his day believed all sorts of things about Jesus, but they certainly did not believe that he was the one who spoke to Moses through the bush, that he is the great I am. He went on to say that before Abraham was, I am. And instead of believing him, the religious leaders got rather cranky and wanted to stone Jesus to death. But Jesus was telling the truth. "Unless you believe that Jesus Christ is God, come to earth as a human being for our salvation, unless you trust him as the one who produced active righteousness for us in his good life, unless you believe that he took responsibility for your sin as he died on the cross, unless you believe that by his rising again from the dead brings righteousness to you, you will die in your sins." The Lord Jesus Christ does not want people to die in their sins. He urged people everywhere to come to him, to trust him, to rely upon him according to what the Bible reports regarding him. It says here that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By this the elders received a good testimony. May God enable us, by his grace through faith, to receive a good testimony from our God, to believe what he tells us about Jesus, and to trust that Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness that is toward us in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the mighty work of your Holy Spirit that brings conviction, conviction of sin, and conviction of the righteousness that comes by Jesus Christ. Help us all to rely upon you, to be done with our own self-opinion, and to receive your grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.